Under the direction of a U.S. Army Major General, the Blue Eagle Parade marched from Washington Square up Fifth Avenue to the New York Public Library, where it passed the reviewing stand upon which stood Johnson, the governors from the tri-state area, and Eleanor Roosevelt. This was the biggest parade in New York's history, eclipsing even the ticker tape parade to celebrate Charles Lindbergh's crossing of the Atlantic. In true corporatist fashion, labor and management alike were expected to participate. The President's NRA Day parade boasted 50,000 garment workers, 30,000 city laborers, 17,000 retail workers, 6,000 brewery hands, and a Radio City Music Hall troupe. Nearly a quarter million men and women marched for 10 hours, past an audience of well over a million people, with 49 military planes flying overhead. Because of events like this, writes Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., Johnson and Roosevelt achieved their goal of transforming a government agency into a religious experience. A member of the British Independent Labor Party was horrified by such pageantry, saying it made him feel like he was in Nazi Germany. The New York parade was no isolated incident. Similar spectacles were held in cities across the country, where marchers typically wore the uniforms of their respective occupations. The Philadelphia Eagles football team was named in honor of the Blue Eagle. 100,000 school kids were marched onto the Boston Common and forced to swear an oath, administered by the mayor. "I promise, as a good American citizen, to do my part for the NRA. I will buy only where the Blue Eagle flies." In Atlantic City, beauty pageant contestants had the Blue Eagle stamped on their thighs. In San Francisco, 8,000 school children were orchestrated to form an enormous Blue Eagle. In Memphis, 50,000 citizens marched in the city's Christmas parade, which ended with Santa Claus riding a giant Blue Eagle. Not surprisingly, victims of the Blue Eagle received little sympathy in the press and even less quarter from the government. Perhaps the most famous case was Jacob Magid, the 49-year-old immigrant dry cleaner who spent 3 months in jail in 1934 for charging 35 cents to press a suit when the NRA had insisted that all loyal Americans must charge at least 40 cents. Because one of the central goals of the early New Deal was to create artificial scarcity in order to drive prices up, the Agricultural Adjustment Administration ordered that 6 million pigs be slaughtered. Bountiful crops were left to rot. Many white farmers were paid not to work their land, which meant that many black tenant farmers went hungry. All of these policies were enforced by a militarized government. In urban centers, the plight of blacks was little better. By granting new collective bargaining powers to unions, FDR also gave them the power to lock blacks out of the labor force. And the unions, often viscerally racist, did precisely that. Hence, some in the black press said the NRA really stood for the Negro Runaround, the Negro Removal Act, and Negroes Robbed Again. At a rally in Harlem, a protester drew a picture of the Blue Eagle and wrote underneath, "That bird stole my pop's job." Meanwhile, under Johnson's watchful eye, policemen would break down doors with axes to make sure tailors weren't working at night and literally yanked newsboys from the street because they didn't work for big corporations.